Our sermon text for this Sunday will be taken from the Gospel of John. Very familiar part of Scripture, but a very powerful part of Scripture that actually tells Pastor Jesse and many others, hands off, this is not your department. God will take care of the church. And that's hard for us because sometimes we think we got to take care of the church. Anyways, the Gospel of John, chapter 15, I'm going to read from verses 1 through 8. Reading in Jesus' name. And if you're willing and able, please stand for the reading of the gospel text. One of you was so fast, you got me by surprise. So, the Gospel of John, chapter 15, beginning at verse 1. And I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my word abides in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so to prove to be my disciples. Amen. Please be seated. Gracious Father, these are your words. And Father, you allow them to give us truth. And Father, we ask that you would allow this word to impact our lives, that we would be drawn to even those deeper waters, that truly, Father, you are the provider. We ask, Father, that you would sanctify us in the truth because your word is truth, and we even find this in the Gospel of John, chapter 17, verse 17, as Jesus says these words. Amen. So this is a very familiar part of Scripture. There's no doubt about that. I ask that you bear with me today. I have must have allergies going on. I spent the whole day out taking advantage of some of the sunshine yesterday and cleaning leaves and everything before I head to Lefty. And boy, this morning I woke up, my head was like a block. So anyways, I feel fine otherwise, except for when I took an allergy thing, I can finally breathe again. So this text here is extremely powerful because Jesus is being very personal. And he's being personal to his disciples, those that were following after him. And it's kind of interesting because he had gone through a lot of teaching, actually. We can't even go through it all. He washes the disciples' feet, and then he basically shares that one will betray him, and then he gives this new commandment of love that is very, very powerful. In other words, that we are to love one another as he has loved us. And that is an unconditional love, a very powerful love. And so he goes through that, and he starts telling about Peter's denial, and Peter is having a hard struggle with this, no doubt. And he says, and really, he comes to the point of, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That no one comes to the Father but through me. And this is actually a stumbling block for a lot of religions. See, a lot of religions, we like to say there's many different paths to heaven. But Jesus lays it right down where he says very plainly, there is no other way. This is what God has allowed. This is what God has ordained. He says, and I am the way, the truth, and life, and no man comes to the Father except through me. And now the disciples get a little confused about this, and they're like, you know, just show us the Father. Give us the opportunity to see him. And I love how the Trinity comes in so strongly here because he basically says to them, I have been with you so long. Haven't you seen me? Don't you know me? And see, for us, we do the same. We live in this world, we spin around on this big rock, and we kind of wonder sometimes, where is God? But the reality of it is, God is found in each and every heart of the believers, that we experience God when we encounter his disciples, his followers, because Christ abides in us. And that's really what he talks about in the tail end of this chapter 14. He talks about the promise of the Holy Spirit. He says, if you love me and keep my commandments, remember what his first commandment and great commandment was, to love God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, and love thy neighbor as thyself. But then his new commandment is to love one another as I have loved you. It looks like we have a lot of Christians in this room today. It looks like that you are you know, at least coming here because you have an understanding of Jesus Christ and you believe that he died for you, that he gave everything for you. Maybe you don't have a full understanding about that. If you don't, please come find me and we'll have a conversation this week. We'll pray, we'll encourage, we'll strengthen. But the point of it is, I'm assuming that a majority of you have this relationship. And so it's kind of powerful to me because now we have full understanding that Christ gives us a gift. He gives us the gift of the Holy Spirit. Where we now are partakers of God. And this to me is extremely powerful. Because so many times we do sit on this rock saying, well, where in the world is God? But yet, ultimately, all we need to do is open his word, pray for his spirit, and also speak with believers. Because this is the truth. So many religions in this world can't figure this out because what they have the biggest struggle with is, how does a God die? Every religion of the world demands something from you. And don't get me wrong, in our tradition and our fallenness, we've often gone that way too. But the reality of it is, Apostle Paul preaches something that's extremely powerful. He says, I preach Jesus Christ and him crucified. I know nothing else. Brothers and sisters in Christ, this is true for us today. That Christ Jesus has given his life for us. That he has spared nothing for our benefit. And he's given us the gift of the Holy Spirit. If we were to look in chapter 17, that's why I referred to it, we have what we call the priestly prayer. And that's why he's making this promise here. He says, you know, in the Gospel of John chapter 14, if you love me and keep my commandments, I will ask my Father and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. He's talking about the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. We get so angry at the world sometimes. Why don't they get it? Because they can't receive this of themselves. Because it neither sees him or knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. After that great work of the cross, in reality will make us vessels able to hold the Spirit. And this is something that we need to understand and know. We are never alone in Christ, that he abides in us. By grace through faith, we are partakers of God. This is beautiful. Instead of saying, where is he? We open this word and the Spirit resounds within us. He is here. He is now. How beautiful are the feet of those that carry the gospel, the scripture says in other places. But what good is it if they don't hear? What good is it if they don't know? Brothers and sisters in Christ, what good is it if we don't open this baby and actually open it and read it to encourage us? So many times I've stood in front of the window of life and said, you know, give me some heat. And then I'll put wood in you, right? That's the wood stove of life, we call that. How many times do we want to do that? Give me some heat, and then I'll put wood in you. Put wood in it. See what happens. Read that scripture. Open that book and see what happens. See how God speaks to you. Pray before you actually read it. Pray as you read it. And allow that word, if we could say, marinate in your life. That when you go out there and you experience things, that you would see God in operation. That you wouldn't live with just the fears of the world, but actually in the confidence of the Spirit. And so he says very plainly, he says, I'm going to give you that Spirit. And then we have this, I am. And I believe there's over seven I ams throughout the scripture, but I could be wrong. Someone could correct me on that, but that's fine. And he comes out and he says, I am the true vine. He's not a false vine. He's not a weed. We see many vines out there when we're gardening, and there's certain vines that do wonderful things for us. There's vines that bring us grapes. There's vines that bring us beans. There's vines that bring us peas. And then there's also some ugly vines that I don't know what they are, but they just grow everywhere, and you're trying to pull them up, and they got curly cues that go on all your other plants, and next thing you know, you're ripping everything out. But the fact of it is, Jesus says, I am the true vine. He is the life giver. And this is where each and every one of us receive our life. Jesus says in another part of the gospel, I come to give you life, and I come to give it to you in abundance. That's not what the world tells you. The world tells you you're insignificant. The world tells you you must actually empty yourself for everybody else. But the scripture says that Christ emptied himself of all his godly head so that he could serve you in the death of the cross. God gives. This is what confounds the religions of the world. Christianity is a beautiful faith because it gives and doesn't demand. All the other religions of the world demand. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father, he's actually the vine dresser. This kind of really sets us back a little bit if we were to take this in its full understanding. He's saying very plainly, I am the true vine, and my Father in heaven, he takes care of things. See, we don't like that sometimes as human beings. Oftentimes, we think we know what is good and what is bad. We think that we can depict what should be there and what shouldn't be there. And we'll walk through congregations and we'll try to decide by external appearances, well, you belong and you don't. You don't and you do. I do, but you don't. That's often how we do things. But really, Jesus says, it's none of your business. God will take care of things. We have that great description of even those fertile fields that were planted with the wheat harvest. And we see that now Jesus gives a description that all of a sudden they look out there and there's all these weeds that are growing in the wheat field. And we know that you can't have that. We pride ourselves on having a garden that's full of, you know, beautiful plants and no weeds. And so they turn around and they say, should we go out and should we tear up the tares? The weeds, should we get rid of them? And what does Jesus answer? He says, no. No, we shouldn't. Why? Because you guys don't know what you're doing. In the middle of growing, we would end up tearing out the good stuff. Because we wouldn't be able to tell the difference. Trust me, you don't want me going into your garden and start weeding it for you. I guarantee you, you'll have weeds and you'll have no plants left. Because I don't know what I'm doing. And the funny part of it is when they're immature, when they're small, they're hard to tell the difference from, especially to inexperienced individuals such as myself. Well, it's no different in the church. How do I gauge where you are? How do I gauge where God is speaking to you? How do I gauge in reality the limits that he may be giving you? We have a tendency to gauge everybody according to ourselves. Well, you should be where I am. Who says I'm right? We need to stop gauging people with the yardstick of our years, and we need to allow God to allow growth and maturity to come into people's lives. And we need to endure. So he says, the Father is the one that will take care of these vines. He is the one that will start doing all the pruning and all that stuff. So he says, every branch in me that doesn't bear fruit. So every branch in this church that doesn't bear fruit, Jesse's going to get rid of it. Is that what it says? Maybe the board will do it, hey? Maybe the board can just say, get rid of that guy. It doesn't say that either, does it? And the beautiful part of it is, it brings it very personally to the Father, the one that they had just asked, please show us the Father. It says very plainly, he, that being the Father, takes it away. God knows the heart. Even when they were seeking for kings in the Old Testament and they were seeking for individuals, they would look at a man and they would see his great stature. They'd see all his strength and might and maybe his handsomeness and they'd say, that's the guy we want. Happened with David. And God had to say, no. For human beings, they look on the external. But God sees the heart. Do you know what this says? It says, it doesn't matter what Jesse thinks of you. It doesn't matter what anyone else thinks of you. God knows you from the heart. He knows you. And He is the one to give you encouragement. He is the one to take care of the church. So He will remove these branches. Another great example of this is King Saul and King David. David was anointed to be king over Saul. And it's interesting because Saul was very jealous. His heart had turned wicked. In his wickedness, he went seeking after David on many occasions. And what did he want to do? He wanted to kill David. On two occasions, David was given the opportunity, once in the cave and once in a camp, to take out Saul, to kill him. Here he is being, David is being hunted like a rabbit by dogs. And he was given opportunity at two occasions to kill Saul. And his friends are whispering in his ear to David, look it, God gave you an opportunity. Kill him. And what does David say? I can't. I can't lay my hand on God's anointed. David trusted God would take care of the situation. We need to trust that God knows what He's doing with His church. We still preach truth, absolutely. We preach His gospel, but we spread that seed and allow God, by the power of His Spirit, to do the rest of the work. We look out in this world and there's chaos everywhere. I don't like it either. But it doesn't change our purpose as believers to go out into this world and share the truth, share the love, share the encouragement, and allow God to take care of the business. I'm not saying, oh, pull away and don't vote. That's not what Jesus even says in the priestly prayer. He actually says, don't make them circle the wagons and just huddle to themselves. He says, I pray not that you would take them out of this world, but rather send them into the world. But keep the evil one from them. We have a position as believers to still enter out into this world, to still do our part, to still continue to live, but understanding that we represent Christ Jesus and that He, in reality, is asking for our protection. He says very plainly, God will take out those branches that don't bear fruit, so I don't have to think about it. It's not my position. But then He also does something that really is extremely powerful. He says, in every branch that does bear fruit, He's going to encourage it. He's going to prune it. That's why I kind of opened with you that, you know, this is important. If we want God to work in our lives to prune and to encourage, we need the tools. And He gives them here. He will speak to us through His Word. He will speak to us by His Spirit. He will answer to us through our prayers. But man alive, Jesse gets up in the morning and he gets his coffee and he jumps on Facebook and starts checking out what's happening now. That's what he does, right? Or then he goes on TikTok and figures out if he can figure out the real news going on in this world. Like I have a clue. And I'm not saying we shouldn't be involved. But where do we start? Start in the Word. Start in prayer. And allow God to do the pruning and the cleaning and the encouraging. For what purpose? Why would He do this? So that we could produce more fruit. Fruit is natural. You know, really, that's the whole thing we need to understand. These are not ornaments that we hang on a tree like a Christmas tree. You know, it's not fake religion where if we have enough do's and don'ts and these and thous, we got it all figured out. Fruit comes naturally by the power of the Word, by the power of the Spirit, that we would naturally put out these things. Even in the Scripture, you know, when Jesus talks about the good works that were done, He says, they'll turn around and say, when did we do these things? It's not that we're keeping track. But what's holding our hearts? What's holding our hearts, like, from entering into this world and sharing? And I'm not saying you got to stand on your sign with all, you know, corner with your signs and all this other stuff. But what's holding our hearts from truly just loving people around us? no matter their thought process. It's probably my own personal ideas, my own personal beliefs. Maybe for some people it might be money. Maybe we got to hold on to that, make sure we keep that straight. You know, heaven forbid that we do something at the church if we don't get paid for it. Maybe it's our thought process there. I'm guilty of that. I was guilty of that at Lutty, and God had to correct me on that. What is holding our hearts from allowing God to be God? Has he left us in the cold? He's allowed us to grow. He's allowed us to be encouraged, and he allows us by his Spirit to bring forth more fruit. You, brothers and sisters in Christ, are his fruit. You are. And when we share his love, another individual is bold enough to walk through any doors of Christian faith, there's more fruit. For what purpose? For his honor and glory. Christ Jesus, he went to the cross for the joy that was set before him. And do you know this? You are that joy. He loves you. God will take care of all these things so that we can continue to bear fruit for him. And Jesus gives this promise. He says, by the words that I speak, you are made clean. He says, you're already clean because of the words that I've spoken with you, that I've shared with you. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing of the word of God. It's not about our great acts. It's not about our great attributes. It's not about our great history where we can show God, look what I did. It's what he does and continues to do for us each and every day by his grace. He says very plainly, how do we keep this up? Well, you got to join the right church. That's for one thing. That's what you got to do. And then when you join the right church, you got to say the right prayers. That's what we've turned it into as human beings. That's not what he says. If you're going to count the church as universal in Christ, then sure, that's perfect. But not denominations that we have. Human beings set those things up. He says very plainly, abide in me, and I in you. This is what you need to do. Stay in Christ. How do you stay in Christ? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing of the word of God. Not just here on the Sabbath for 1/2 hour. 28 minutes we get to preach, and then you get to go home and get lunch. No. If anything, I'm going to honestly say I've had more, and I don't mean this to sound like they're better than us, but I've had more women teach me this than anything. I've had more women in my life that read the scripture every morning. I'm not saying there's not guys that maybe we're too proud to say it or something, but I've had a lot of women share different scriptures with me. And as a pastor, a lot of them will send me a copy of what they're reading and say, Pastor, I was thinking today of this. That's beautiful. To be tied to that word, to be engrossed in that word, to abide in him. He says, and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself. We know that. You break a branch off, it's done. Because it's not connected to that life-sustaining vine that brings the nutrients, brings everything it needs. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we're no different. We become callous when we're not connected. We become hard. He says, a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. He repeats that. And you are the branches. Know our place. We aren't telling everybody else what to do. We allow God's word to share and to encourage and to give growth. He says, whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. And then he says something extremely powerful to every believer, me, you, and everyone else, the Pope, whoever else it may be. Without Christ, we can't do anything. Without Christ, We think sometimes we need the Ten Commandments. We need the laying on of hands. We need the speaking in tongues. We need the perfect baptism. We need everything else. And I'm not saying there's not beautiful things in that. But without Christ, it's empty. It's empty. We have a tendency to worship systems rather than a living God. Philippians says, through Christ, I can do all things who strengthens me. And here he says, without me, you can't do anything. Brothers and sisters in Christ, there's beautiful traditions, and they are beautiful sacraments, but without Christ, they're empty. It's not because his word fails. It's not because his spirit fails. It's because our flesh fails. We need the life-sustaining of Christ Jesus each and every day of our lives. He says, I am the vine and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, it is he that bears much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. He says, if anyone does not abide in me, then really what he says here is there's no value. This isn't about hellfire and damnation and everything else. I don't believe it is. Someone else may believe that, and they'll have to come down and have a coffee with me and straighten me out because I should be preaching more hell, I guess. But that's not what I see here. See, back in the day, they would go out into the fields and they go out into the woods and they get these little sticks and little grass and they make quick little hot fires just to cook. Very insignificant material. He says, whoever abides in me and I in him, you bear much fruit. But if anyone does not abide in me, he's thrown away like a branch that withers. And the branches are gathered up and thrown into a fire and burned. We do this all. I would have done it yesterday if it wasn't raining. Those leaves and those little branches all over my yard, I wasn't saving them because they're so valuable. They're more of a nuisance. They weren't productive. They were actually hindering the productive side of my lawn and my gardens. And so he says very plainly, they're going to be consumed. He says, if you abide in me and my word abides in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is exactly what we need to understand. God is operating in and through us. He says, if you have needs, ask. And I think we need to understand, too, he's speaking this very directly to his disciples, who will be the apostles. And he's saying very plainly, stay in me. Don't look at everything else out there in the world. Stay tuned into me. Stay connected to me. And whatever you have need of upon your journey, ask, and it'll be taken care of. Now, we may get Cadillacs in our heads, we may get jets in our heads, or whatever else, but the reality of it is saying, whatever you have need of to do the commission I've sent you on, you will have it. And I don't know who you are, I don't know anything as far as your financial situation, but this isn't a prosperity gospel thing. But you have to admit, we have quite a bit of stuff. We are blessed. We're not lacking. But those things compared to Christ, they're manure. Our false religions or our man-made religions compared to Christ is manure. Our material things next to Christ is manure. The reality of it is, he is our provision. He says, so abide in me, and whatever you have need of, it will be given to you. He says, and this is how my Father is glorified. He says that you bear much fruit. In bearing this fruit, you show to be my disciples. Why? Because you're not doing your own thing. I think that's the hardest thing for our pride, is to let go of doing our own thing. Oftentimes, our religion in our minds mimics what God would do. As another pastor would share with me all through my seminary years, he'd say, I always find it amazing how God thinks just like me. We need to be careful with that. You're not here to hear from me. You're not here to hear from Scott or Mark. You're here to hear from the gospel. gospel of Jesus Christ. It's good news. May we rejoice in that. May we stay connected to that. And may we lay aside the doctrines of men. For Jesus' name's sake. Amen. Let's unite our hearts in a word of prayer.